Well, good afternoon again. It's our privilege to just look at the scriptures for a short time this afternoon. And what I would like to do is something I've been looking at over the past week or so, is a part of the Bible in Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to do something today that I don't normally do. We're just going to read some verses, and then I'm going to speak, and then we're going to read some more and work our way down the chapter, and we'll go as quickly as we can, because it would be really good if we managed to get through the points that I have here before 10 minutes to 1. I've put a little title over our talk today, and it's simply this: Who am I in Luke chapter 18? There you are. Who am I in Luke chapter 18? Now, you must be at least one of the persons in Luke chapter 18, or you might be two, or maybe you're even three, but you're there in this chapter, because we're going to look at eight different people, or groups of people, that we find in the chapter. So, without further ado, let's have a little look at Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look at the first type of person that we read there. And if you look at chapter 18, verse 2, we're going to see the description that the Lord Jesus gave to this particular person. And it breaks in a parable. We're not going to look at the parable. We just want to take from it this particular person that was mentioned in the parable. And the Lord Jesus said this: There was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. A person who did not fear God and did not regard man. You know, there are people today who are like that. They do not respect God, and they don't respect man. And I would venture to suggest that the person who does not respect God, he cannot and will not respect his fellow man. I was reading just recently there about some of the Roman emperors. Didn't believe God, didn't respect God, and they had absolutely no respect for their fellow man. I was reading about one particular one who the Emperor Nero, and you remember on occasions, just for his pleasure, he would take slaves and he would take Christians and he would set them alight, burn them alive to illuminate his party scenes. Terrible man. There was another emperor I was reading about, and he had a special tank built with conger eels in it. And anyone whom he fell out with or displeased him, he would throw them into this tank. One person, apparently, one of his servants, dropped a goblet, and because of that, they were thrown into this tank. See, he had no respect for God, and he didn't respect men. I was speaking to a friend just last week, and he was saying this, that he followed a car through Glasgow, and it had a thing on the back, and it said simply this: Over 3 million Scots do not need God. Not just Glaswegians, people from here as well and other places. But this was a boast and the claim: Over 3 million Scots don't need God. And I tell you, if a society has that attitude, they will not regard and respect their fellow men. So there's our first one. Now, I don't think there's going to be anybody here today, or they wouldn't be in the building, I don't think, if they had no respect for God and no respect for their fellow men. But beware of people like that, that we find them in the Bible. Move down to verse 9, and we're going to think now of the second person. And this is what the Lord Jesus said in verse 9. And he spoke another parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and they despised others. Ah, here's a different person. Here's not one now who despises and disregards God. Here's a person here who they're coming to the temple, but they're coming with this attitude that they're trusting in themselves, and they think they are so good and they despise others who are coming to the temple to worship God as well. The person who's self-righteous. And the Lord Jesus is going to tell them a little parable, and he's going to say to them, now listen, he says, I want to tell you a story about two men that went to the temple. And he said, one of them was a Pharisee, a very religious person. And he says, following in his wake was a tax collector, a despised person, one that nobody wanted. And they both were coming to the temple to worship God. He says, now the first person, this very self-righteous person, he looked down on this Pharisee, this tax collector, and said, God, I thank you, I'm not like him. Oh, he says, no. He says, I fast and I give my money and I do this and I do that. And he says, oh, I'm thank you, I'm not like that. Do you know what God said? Or Jesus said? He says, see that man? His prayers only went as high as the ceiling and came back again. He says, but I want to point out this poor person, this tax gatherer that everybody despised and realized what a sinner he was. He said he came into God's presence and in reverence he bowed down and he beat his chest. You see the Eastern people do that when they're in distress, don't you? They beat their chest. And he says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So there's person two, is the person who says, I don't need you, God. I'm good enough as I am. I'm righteous. I do good works. I give and I pray and I do all the things, all the outward things. But here's person number three. And here's the person who knows, you know, my life's not right. We were saying to the boys and girls, our hearts are black. And that just simply means that we're sinners. And God says in his words, we have all sinned. Speaker, hearer, older folks, younger folks, we've all sinned. But the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So there we have two men. Now, are you like person number two? Someone who feels they're good enough, they don't need God's salvation? Or do you like person three, who recognise in God's sight they're sinful and they need to be saved? Do you know, I suspect that is one of the most blessed states that a person can come to be in. A person who recognises, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I recognise that you're the only one who is able, and not only able but willing to save, and I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be merciful to me. And the idea of this being merciful, we're thinking of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made at the cross. And that's why God is able to forgive us, because of the precious blood that was shed. You don't become a Christian. You don't have your sins forgiven by coming to a place like this. You learn how to do it coming there. You don't have your sins forgiven by reading the Bible. You learn the way you'd come through the Bible. And we point you this morning to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the first person who respects neither God nor man. Here's the second person who has such an inflated opinion of himself that he thinks he doesn't need God's way of salvation. He's self-righteous. A very dangerous place to be. But here we have a third person who comes into God's presence, and in reverence and in respect, he bows down and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? You see that second person, his prayers went right, that third person, his prayer went right into the very presence of God, and he went home, and he was right in God's sight, where that self-righteous person went home, and he was still in his self-righteousness and still in his sins. So there we have it, persons 2 and 3. Let's move down now to verse 16. And I love this verse. Listen to what it says. We'll read verse 15. And they, and I suspect that will be mums and dads, and maybe grands and grandpas, they were maybe involved in this. And they brought unto Jesus also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. and said, but Jesus said, listen, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Ah, that's lovely, isn't it? Isn't it lovely to see the children that were here this morning? And way back these 2,000 years ago, mums and grands, they would bring their wee ones to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they wanted the very best for the children. And that's why the friends are telling them of the Saviour. They want the very best for the children. And Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. You know, I was thinking about that through the week when we used to stay not in Ayr, but through in a wee place called Stenhouse Muir. And for a while, when we were just sort of maybe married at first and maybe even just before that, we had a boy used to come quite regular to the meetings. And Danny, he had a mental deficiency. But he used to come regularly, Danny. And he always used to come and sit beside me. And I remember one night he was sitting beside me, and somebody says to me at the end of the meeting, John, he says, I noticed that when Danny comes and sits beside you, you always just put your arm around him and just make him feel welcome. I says, well, I do that. I says, but that's not the only reason I do it. I says, Danny's got the awful bad habit of when he's sitting beside you, he gets his finger and he pokes it in your ear and up your nose. And I says, so that just helps to... So there's a measure where we suffer the children, you know what I mean? But we love them dearly, don't we? And so the Lord Jesus, suffer the children to come unto me. Forbid them not. And what the Lord Jesus is saying is, he's saying to the grands and the grandpas and the mums and the dads and those that were around, now listen, if you want to get to heaven, you've got to become as little children. What's a little child? What is a little child? Well, when you think of the little children, we think of one who's helpless. You feel that concern for them. You want to protect them. When you mums and you grands have got the wee ones and you're taking them along the street out with the messages and you come to the crossing in the road, you get a firm grip of their hands, don't you? And the wee ones, when they come, they're glad to put their wee hand into yours because they feel safe and secure. They trust you. So the Lord Jesus says, the wee ones, they're helpless. And they're trusting, don't they? They just are happy because they know who you are, just to put their little trust into you. And then they don't bring anything, do they? They don't come and say, I'm a wonderful person, I'm a great person, you must just accept me because of my greatness. They've got no inhibitions that way at all. And they've got nothing really to offer, haven't they? But the mum or the gran or the grandpa or the carer, they've got that love and they've got that concern, and the wee one has got that trust. And that's what Jesus is saying. Now listen, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you've got to come as a little child. You don't come with all the problems. I've got a niece and her husband is they call him a scientist. And, you know, I just wish that this Jim had come about 35, 40 years ago to the Lord before he had all these problems, because he can't reconcile some of the things in the Bible with his scientific background. You see, but the Lord Jesus is saying, I don't want you to come with your science background. I want you to come like a little child and just believe. That's what we're asked to do, just believe. To place our hands in his and to trust him. So that's the fourth little group, are the little children. So we've thought of the man who feared neither God nor man. We've thought of the self-righteous person. We've thought about the sinner or the tax collector. We've thought about the children. Now we're going to move down to verse 18, and we're going to come to person number 5. And it says there, now a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Ah, here was a young man. We learn that from another parable in another of the Gospels. This young man came to the Lord Jesus and he says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life. Now, we don't want to feel smart or smug this afternoon, but he made two very simple errors when he came to the Lord Jesus. First of all, he said, "What shall I do?" That was a wee bit like the man, the second man we thought about. He prayed and he gave his tithes, and he thought that was the way to do it. And this man comes and says, "What must I do?" So that was the first mistake. And then he says, "What I really want, really more than anything else, what I really, really want," as your wee ones would say, "what I really, really need and what I really, really want is to inherit eternal life." So this man's going to learn there's nothing he can do, and eternal life is not something you can inherit. What's an inheritance? Well, when my father passed away, what his inheritance consisted of was his old Bible. And I got his Bible, and I treasure it. But that was about as much as he left me. But you see, an inheritance is something that's left to you and is passed on from generation to generation. But you see, the gospel and salvation is not like that. Because your parents are Christians doesn't mean you're a Christian. Because your children are believers doesn't mean you're a believer. It's not something you inherit. It's something you receive from the Lord Jesus. You know, in the beginning of John's gospel, John writes this, that to as many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God. Now there's the secret. You've got to receive him. So this man, there was two things. He thought there was something he could do. And you know, Paul was like that. You know, the great apostle Paul. He was a great Pharisee, one of the leaders. And he worked hard at his religion. And in fact, one of the chapters in one of his letters tells of all the great things he had done. And he said, "But you know, that wasn't good enough." And he says, "Now I count them all loss, count them all but loss, because the cross of Christ is what really counts." What is he saying? He says, "Well, really, let's think about it. This man, there was nothing he could do. He had to be like the children and just rely in faith in the Saviour. And there's nothing, he didn't get it by inheritance, and he learned that he had to just trust the Saviour for himself." But you know, when the Lord looked on him, we were thinking with the boys and girls, God has a great ability to peer into our hearts, and he sees exactly what we are. We come here on a Sunday and we can put on a facade, put on a face, but you know, God sees behind that. And the Lord Jesus looked at this man and he looked into his heart and he says, "Now listen, one thing you lack." And he was rich, lots of money. And that's what he wanted, more and more of this. And he says, if you really want to inherit eternal life, if you really want to become a Christian, if you really want to get to heaven, he says, that money of yours is keeping you back. Get rid of it, then come and follow me. There it is. What he had to give up something in this life to gain much, much more in the next life. And that's maybe perhaps the situation some of us are here this morning. There's something in our lives that keeps us from the Lord. I'm not being judgmental, but I'm looking at you this morning and I don't think it's your money that's keeping you for the Lord. You don't look all that affluent. I say that kindly. But there may be something else in your life and it's keeping you. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your work. Maybe it's studies. Maybe it's, I don't know. But there's something maybe keeping us from the Lord. And the Lord looks into our hearts and says, "Look, you need to put that in the background and just come and follow me." So learn the lesson from the rich young ruler. Then we come down to verse 28. And this time, we're thinking of a man called Peter. And Peter had looked at... the end of that wee parable, by the way, is this young man that had all the money and was desperate to have eternal life, he didn't want it that much that he was prepared to do what Jesus said. And the Bible tells us this, that he turned in his heels and he walked away and he was sad because he was very rich. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus looked at him and he was deeply distressed and sad as well. Why? Because the man had the opportunity to get eternal life, what he wanted, and he wouldn't come in God's way. And then the disciples are saying, "Well, that's amazing. Why? How can If that man can't become a Christian, if he can't get eternal life, if he can't know heaven, who then can? And the Lord Jesus said, it's the ones that come as little children. Then Peter's thinking, and he says in verse 28, Peter said, "Lo, Lord, we have left all to follow you." And he says, what are we going to get out of this? We're thinking here of a man who had given up all to follow Jesus. Thought about a young man who refused to give it up, and he failed, never be in heaven. But here's a man who gave up all. His fishing nets, his fishing boats, and he followed Jesus. And he says, "But Lord," and the Lord Jesus said, "Now listen, no one who has left father, mother, possessions will ever lose out in this life or the life that's to come." I was speaking to Andy there during the break, and you know, sometimes we get weary with well-doing. You know, we give up a lot. The Sunday school teachers, the people with the taught, people that do work, you know, sometimes we don't see a lot of fruit for our labour and we get discouraged. Well, the Lord Jesus says, don't get discouraged. That's what the message from Peter. Don't get discouraged. Let me tell you that nobody will lose out in this life or the life that's to come. So there's the sixth person, the sacrificial follower. Then we're going down now to verse 31. And this time, Jesus is speaking to the 12, to his 12 disciples. And he's saying to them, now listen, we're going up to Jerusalem. And he says, as we're going up, the things that the prophets foretold is going to happen to me. I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be insulted. I'm going to be spat upon. I'm going to be scourged. And I'm going to be killed. Wow, what a message to bring to his followers. And then he says, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. That's wonderful, because it's the only religion that people can go to and see an empty tomb. You know, Buddha, Muhammad, they've all got their shrines and where they were buried, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who's risen. And you know, I'm thinking in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and it says this, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that wonderful? It's simple. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to be learned. You just need to believe it. If I believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord, Jesus, the one who died on the cross, shed his blood for me, and I receive him as my Lord, John says you'll be one of his family, and Paul says here, and that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me ask you this morning, are you saved? Well, if not, you can be today. Wonderful. And the last one is in verse 35, and we don't have time to look at it, but it's the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And here was a man who knew Jesus was passing by, and he had an opportunity, and he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus says to him, what do you want? He says, I want to receive my sight. And he says to him, receive your sight. And the Bible says, immediately he received his sight. You see, he was in the right place at the right time, and he came to the right person despite the obstacles. And he came and he cried to the right person, Lord, have mercy on me. You come this morning and just pray that prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, and really mean it. And the Lord Jesus really says, what do you want? And you say, Lord, I want my sins forgiven. I want you to be my Saviour. I want you to be my Lord. And I want to be one of your followers. And Jesus will say, it's done. Immediately, you'll receive your sight. You'll have that faith. You'll realise who the Lord Jesus is. And what happens? You're filled with joy. And you start to follow him. Well, there we are. 30 seconds over my time. 8 people. How many do you relate to of these 8? I'll leave it with you. But whichever one of the 8, I hope you're like the one, either the third one or the last one, that cry to the Lord for his salvation. And like the middle ones, you came as a little child and just received him. We sometimes used to sing old-fashioned. We don't sing it with the kids now, but we used to down in here when I went at first, and we said this. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. God says believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You believe it. He'll keep his promise and you can be saved today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of reading these few verses from the Bible. Thank you for these 8 examples of people of different walks of life and different attitudes. But we thank you for those who found the Saviour and went in their way rejoicing, knowing sins forgiven and a home in heaven. What a glorious prospect. And we have in the gospel message the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Help us to believe that and be blessed this morning, we pray, as we seek a parting blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.